Good morning. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for joining us this morning for worship at the Preston Road Church of Christ. And if you're a guest, we're glad that you are with us. Several people have said it, but I just want to echo that you honor us by being with us this morning. So if you're in the room as a guest, if you're watching us online, thanks for being a part of our worship this morning. We have today, for the first time in a few weeks, a great combination. We have power, and there are no storms in the forecast for the afternoon to mess up events. We don't have any events this afternoon, but there are no storms that would mess them up. We've just pivoted the last couple of weeks, haven't we? Because we're flexible. So we, 2 weeks ago, you wake up on Sunday with no power, and you think, well, we've got natural light in the commons. We'll have service out there. And we made it work. And I'm so thankful that you were here for that, showed up for those modified services last week. Some odd forecast. Maybe the storms will be later, but they might be earlier, and we don't really know. And so about an hour before our block party is supposed to start, it is just pouring rain, and the storms hit, and it's not safe to be outside. We pivoted, and we pulled the food trucks up, because we'd already, you probably know how food trucks work. You kind of have to prepay for some of that to make them, commit to coming out. So we had a bunch of food that we had bought. So we parked the food trucks up near the entrance and set up tables in the gym. Ro Diaz was just on the fly doing some caricatures for people, entertaining us while we were inside, and even got to go back outside for the last half hour and enjoy the inflatables and the rides out there. We made it work, and I'm thankful to all of you. I just watched people show up and pitch in to help. So thank you for being flexible. I tell the staff and others all the time, you know what? We survived. And then it's okay that things were different. And we made it to the next day. And some of you really had a hard couple of weeks. You had some extended power outages. You had some damage at your house or some other things. So I'm grateful that we just were able to pivot. And I'm thankful to be part of a church that shows up and is flexible about things, because that's what we do. We just show up and we make it work. So thank you for being flexible with us during the past couple of weeks. Today we're going to finish our series talking about life with God, in particular talking about the spiritual disciplines. And the discipline we're going to talk about today isn't listed in any of the classic works of discipline, but I'm going to put it there myself. Okay, it's important enough to me. We're going to talk about showing up in a disconnected age. In the fall of my senior year of high school, my mom came into my room early on a Sunday morning and she said, "Hey, your dad's had to leave. Your grandma has had a heart attack, and we're not sure if she's going to make it." And indeed, she did pass away that day. So that day was a blur to me. I have four grandparents. This was the first to pass away. I don't remember much about that, but I remember going to her funeral. So we drove about 30 minutes to Faith Baptist Church in Iowa Park, Texas. And I didn't know anybody there. That was my grandparents' church, and my only connection there was them. I'd never really been there. Maybe I'd visited once or twice as a kid. So I'm walking in to this strange room with these strange people I don't know, kind of processing in with the family. It's this sea of uncertainty, and I'm a high school kid trying to make sense of all this. And on my way down to where the family was sitting, I saw on the ends of one of the pews a couple of elders from the church I went to. And they were just sitting there. They were standing, actually, as we walked in. I can tell you who was there. I can picture it in my mind. Because in all this chaos, here were some anchors for me, people I knew. They didn't know my grandparents. They didn't know this church. But they showed up to support my dad and my family as we grieved. I didn't even get to talk to the elders that day. They weren't able to make it to say anything of, incredible comfort to us. They didn't have magic words. They were just there. In a world where we're disconnected, in a world where everything has become virtual, in a world where we're very busy, I'm convinced that showing up is more important than ever and carries more meaning than it ever has. So we've been talking about these practices like praying and fasting and serving and celebrating. And today I want to talk about what I think is a very important practice, which is just showing up. because I think that has an incredible meaning to people. I also think it takes a lot of discipline to practice it. The first story I think about in Scripture about showing up happens in the Old Testament. So there is a man and a woman who are going to go on a journey because of a famine. They've got to find food. And this man and woman, husband and wife, they have two sons. So they set out on this journey. And along the journey, the father, the husband, passes away. And then these two sons, they get married, but the sons pass away. So in the end, you're left with a woman, a mother, and her two daughters-in-law. And the woman says to her daughters-in-law, listen, you don't really know me. You just married into my family, but my sons, your husbands, they passed away, and you don't want to go where I'm going. You've got family back home, and you don't need to be with me. Let's shake hands, part ways. I get it. And one of her daughters-in-law, in fact, does that, understandable, goes back home. But the other one, whom you may know as Ruth, says this to her, don't urge me to leave or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. He goes on to say, where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely if even death separates you and me. Here's Ruth practicing showing up, practicing being present, even when it is deeply sacrificial, even in this moment when it meant a life she had not planned on. I'm going to physically be here with you because we need each other's presence. And then we move to the New Testament, to Jesus, our model for everything. Jesus teaches that presence is important. On his very last night before he's put on trial and killed, he's out praying, and he's got some disciples joining him, and they can't stay awake. They're tired. They're stressed. It's understandable. And several times Jesus says something like, can you not just stay awake with me on this hugely important night? Can't you just stay awake with me for a while? Even Jesus craved the presence, the awake presence of his friends and disciples. He's not asking them in this moment to do anything. He's not asking them to defend him. He's just asking them to stay awake and be present. Not only does Jesus teach this, but he practices it. John tells us about the story when Jesus' friend dies. And he tells us in John 11, verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. You're probably aware of some stories where Jesus can do things remotely. There are people that get healed when Jesus is not in the room. I'm fully confident that Jesus could have raised Lazarus from the dead remotely. He could have zoomed in and taken care of it. But he didn't. He said, we're going to go back. Because not only am I going to do this in person, but I've got dear friends that I need to show up for. So I'm going to go back there to comfort them in the midst of this thing I'm going to do. But maybe my favorite example of showing up in Scripture is this guy named Tychicus. Paul talks about him in a couple of his letters. So Paul is writing from prison in a few letters, and he's writing to different churches, some of whom he knows, some he doesn't. But Paul knows that they are discouraged about his being in prison, and they're wondering what this means for this movement. They're wondering what it means for their own future. And so Paul wants to reassure them. What does he say? In Ephesians 6, he says, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant of the Lord, will tell you everything so that you may also know how I am and what I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Paul writes very similar language in the letter to the Colossians. In another letter, he says he's going to send Timothy to do the same thing, to encourage them. So Paul knows that these believers need to hear a message of encouragement. They need to hear all that God is doing through Paul and his missionary team. And so Paul says he's going to tell you everything. Paul could have told them everything in a letter. Paul could have live-streamed his message and they could have watched it later at 1.5 speed at their own convenience. But he doesn't do that. He sends someone to encourage them in person because he knows that that will make a difference. Back then, even more so than now, it took great effort to send someone to give this message in person. But that's what Paul does. He knows that sending Tychicus in person to show up is the best way to convey the message he wants to convey and to encourage the believers. Imagine their reaction when this guy shows up in the room, speaking on behalf of Paul. So encouraging the discouraged in person was so important that it was worth a mission trip. So I want to talk about some ways we might show up today. Let me give a little disclaimer about showing up and being in person. I'm very aware that different ones of us have different things going on in our lives. It's some disabilities we might have, some health concerns, just our own abilities and health in general. Like, I understand that at different phases of life, showing up is going to look different. No one should hear anything I've said or I'm about to say as some sort of guilt trip when you are not able to get out and be somewhere in person. Don't we all understand that it's hard sometimes? Let's cut each other some slack. I'm here to encourage us. I want you to know that your presence makes a difference and not to get on to you for those times when you're just not able to be out. I'm so thankful that people are able to watch and worship with us online. That's important, and I don't look down on that at all. But I think we all know that when we're able to, our physical presence showing up can make a huge difference. So I just want to give you a few areas where your presence, your showing up, makes a difference. And I think you know this because when others do it for you, it makes a difference. But sometimes we doubt our own importance and we think that our showing up doesn't matter, even though when others do it for us, it's a big deal. The first time we show up is when people are sick and in distress. We know this from experience. We know that showing up when someone's got a grave concern, when life is falling apart. The very first church I served in a western suburb of Oklahoma City named Yukon, we had a prominent member. He was one of our deacons who had a very difficult cancer battle. And one day he was going to get his leg amputated below the knee. And so much of the church showed up in the waiting room of the hospital for this difficult surgery. I mean, I really thought we were going to get kicked out of the waiting room at Mercy Hospital in Oklahoma City because we were a rambunctious group because this guy was a fun guy. And so we were all just, I mean, it was an exciting time to be there in support in spite of the difficult thing that was happening because this person just kind of brought those around him who enjoyed life. So we were just talking and laughing and telling stories about him while he was in surgery. We showed up for him and his family. And I hope that was memorable for them to see the church show up in a very difficult time. So whether it's a group convening at the hospital, whether it's showing up with a meal, you know the ways that people have been there for you and have showed up. And so you know how to do this for others. A couple of months ago, one of you gave me an article, and I really wish I could remember who it was because I'd want to give you credit, but I think I had gotten a few different readings that day, and I forgot to write down who gave it to me. But it's an article from the New York Times called Train Yourself to Always Show Up. And this author had studied the Mishnah, which is an ancient Jewish sort of rabbinical document, and found a practice in there that was astounding. There was a practice that the Jews had around this time where they would make a pilgrimage to the temple. And they would go inside and go up the steps, and most people would begin to walk around, I got to do this backwards for me, clockwise, okay? But then there were people who were hurting, who were heartbroken, and they would walk in and they would walk counterclockwise. And so when a person who was doing okay encountered someone who was not, they would ask this person, "What happened to you?" And so the heartbroken person might say, "I just lost my job and I don't know what to do next." And they might say, "My family is falling apart and I've ruined relationships." They might say, "I have difficult tests coming up this week and I don't know what the results will be and I'm scared." And the other person then would speak words of comfort to them, and they would say, "May God's presence be with you." They would go on and find the next person they could speak words of comfort to. Can you imagine the meaningfulness of that practice? Asking someone, "What's happened to you and why are you hurting?" Letting them pour out their hearts and then reminding them of God's presence. I think that is an astounding practice. And there are different ways we might practice it today that don't look just like that. But the article ends with this quote: "Showing up for one another doesn't require heroic gestures. It means training ourselves to approach even when our instinct tells us to withdraw. It means picking up the phone and calling our friend or colleague who is suffering. It means going to the funeral and the house of mourning." We'll talk more about that in a minute. "It means going to the wedding and the birthday dinner. Reach out in your strength, step forward in your vulnerability, and err on the side of presence." We show up for people who are sick or distressed. We also just show up for important events. Maybe it's events in the life of this church family, like baby dedication or senior Sunday, or when we have the all-church retreat or a block party. Maybe it's those Tuesdays when we gather, when our men gather for Iron Tuesday and our women gather for ladies' Bible class. It might be games or performances for people in your broad circle. I remember as a kid, baseball hadn't started until my grandparents showed up in their old white Dodge pickup, having driven an hour to watch me play. We show up for people who matter in our church and in our family. A couple of weeks ago, as I was starting to read for this, I saw a quote in a graphic, and I promise you, when I saw this, I just kind of sat and stared at my screen for a good 3 minutes because I'd kind of been hit in the gut by this quote. It says, 20 years from now, the only people who will remember you worked late are your kids. Ooh. Yeah. Presence matters. And we set our priorities, we dictate our presence by those priorities. We show up for important events and we show up for the people we love in our family and in our church and in our networks. Whether it's a hard time or a good time, our presence makes a difference. Third, going back to everything we said in this series, showing up for the spiritual practices. And here's what that means. Sometimes it's just daunting to think about becoming a person of prayer or adopting a regular rhythm of fasting. Showing up just means I'm going to do this for the first time. I'm just going to show up the first time. So if I want to start reading scripture regularly, I'm just going to show up the first time, and it may not go well, and I might not be focused, and I might not feel all tingly inside when I'm done, but I've showed up, and that's what matters. You want to be a person who serves more. Show up. You might not change the world, but you'll make a difference for someone, and that matters. Show up. So when you think about all these spiritual disciplines we've talked about, it's not a matter of like setting some 5-year goal that seems unattainable. It's just showing up the first time. And then it's showing up the second time and showing up the third time. And before you know it, you will look more and more like Jesus because you've made the choice to show up. And then the last thing I want to talk about, I alluded to it earlier, is funerals. Read an article recently that said pared down funerals may become the norm. We've all kind of seen the changes during and post-COVID. Some of those are understandable, and everyone deserves to have the funeral that they prefer and the way their family wants it, of course. But if you talk to any minister at any church, they will probably tell you that funeral attendance is down And that more and more people are choosing to have them on the weekends because they're afraid that people won't or can't get there during the week. And it's an interesting phenomenon to hear people basically say, what a wonderful person. They lived 80, 90 years of service to the Lord, made a huge impact. I'm not sure I can get away for 2 hours on Tuesday. That's tough. I know funerals can be an inconvenience in the middle of our week, but perhaps that's where our spiritual disciplines show up, is in our willingness to be inconvenienced, to honor a life well lived. A couple of years ago, someone sent me an essay, an audio and written essay on NPR by Deirdre Sullivan. And it's called Always Go to the Funeral. I want us to be a church that shows up for each other in good times and bad. And what I want to do for this last little bit, I want to play this for you. It's about 2 minutes. I just want you to listen to Deirdre read her essay about the importance of going to the funeral, and then I'll get back up and close us out.
I believe in always going to the funeral. My father taught me that. The first time he said it directly to me, I was 16 and trying to get out of going to calling hours for Miss Emerson, my old fifth grade math teacher. I did not want to go. My father was unequivocal. D, he said, you're going. Always go to the funeral. Do it for the family. So my dad waited outside while I went in. It was worse than I thought it would be. I was the only kid there. When the condolence line deposited me in front of Miss Emerson's shell-shocked parents, I stammered out, sorry about all this, and stalked away. But for that deeply weird expression of sympathy delivered 20 years ago, Miss Emerson's mother still remembers my name and always says hello with tearing eyes. That was the first time I went unchaperoned, but my parents had been taking us kids to funerals and calling hours as a matter of course for years. By the time I was 16, I'd been to five or six funerals. I remember two things from the funeral circuit. Bottomless dishes of free mints, and my father saying on the ride home, you can't come in without going out, kids. Always go to the funeral. Sounds simple. When someone dies, get in your car and go to calling hours of the funeral. That I can do. But I think a personal philosophy of going to funerals means more than that. Always go to the funeral means that I have to do the right thing when I really don't feel like it. I have to remind myself of it when I could make some small gesture, but I really don't have to, and I definitely don't want to. I'm talking about those things that represent only inconvenience to me, but the world to the other guy. You know, the painfully underattended birthday party. The hospital visit during happy hour. The shiva call from one of my ex's uncles. In my humdrum life, the daily battle hasn't been good versus evil. It's hardly so epic. Most days, my real battle is doing good versus doing nothing. In going to funerals, I've come to believe that while I wait to make a grand heroic gesture, I should just stick to the small inconveniences that let me share in life's inevitable, occasional calamity. On a cold April night 3 years ago, my father died a quiet death from cancer. His funeral was on a Wednesday, middle of the work week. I had been numb for days when, for some reason during the funeral, I turned and looked back at the folks in the church. The memory of it still takes my breath away. The most human, powerful, and humbling thing I've ever seen was a church at three on a Wednesday full of inconvenienced people who believe in going to the funeral.
I think in a lonely, disconnected age, the art of showing up will mean more than ever, and in fact is an incredible way to connect people to Jesus. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." So church, may we show up for others, just as Jesus continues to show up for us. Let's stand and sing.